السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's English Khutbah, and the topic is Ya Ibadi, O my servants. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah, the possessor of majesty, the one of honor, magnificence, and perfection, and I bear witness with every facet of my being, that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration, and worship except Allah, the uniquely one, having no competing second in that oneness. And I bear witness that our leader and our master, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the perfect example of servanthood unto Allah, and is his sent messenger unto the entirety of the created universe. Amma ba'd. I advise you, dutiful servants of Allah, and myself, to adhere to a heartfelt consciousness of Allah, which in Arabic we call taqwa. For he, the most gloriously transcendent, states, Ya ayyuhan nas i'budu rabbakum alladhi khalakakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and created those before you in order that you may become righteous. O worshippers, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said in an amazing hadith, a hadith Qudsi, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking, and he said, قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا عبادي. It's as if Allah is saying, O my servants, إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي. Indeed, I have forbidden oppression for myself. وجعلته بينكم محرما. And I have made it forbidden amongst you. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. So do not oppress one another. كُلُّكُمْ ضَالٌ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُهُ. All of you are misguided except those who I have guided. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so seek guidance from me and I will guide you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, Ya ibadi, O my servants, kullukum ja'i'un illa man at'amtuhu. All of you are hungry except those who I have fed. Then seek your food and seek your nourishment from me, and I shall feed you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, O my servants, kullukum 'arin illa man kasawtuhu. All of you are naked except those whom I have clothed. So seek your shelter and your clothing from me, and I shall clothe you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, Ya ibadi, O my servants, innakum tukhti'una bil-layli wal-nahar. Indeed, you commit sins by night and by day. وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. And I am the one who forgives all sins. So seek forgiveness from me, and I shall forgive you. And then Allah says, يَا عِبَادِي. O my servants, you will not attain harming me so as to harm me. And you will not attain benefiting me so as to benefit me. O my servants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, if the first of you and the last of you, and the humans of you and the jinns of you, were all as pious as the most pious heart of any individual amongst you, then this would not increase my kingdom one iota, or one small, even a fraction. Ya ibadi, O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you, and the humans of you and the jinn of you, were all as wicked as the most wicked heart of anyone amongst you, then this would not decrease my kingdom one iota. O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you, and the humans of you and the jinns of you, were all to stand together in one place and ask of me, and I were to give everyone whatsoever they asked, then that would not decrease what I possess, even, or in brackets we can say, even less than what is decreased of the ocean when the needle is dipped into it. O my servants, it is but your deeds that I account for you, and then give you the recompense for. So he, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this hadith al-Qudsi, this ends here with this thing. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمِدَ اللَّهِ. And so whomsoever finds good, let him praise Allah. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. And so anyone who finds good, let him praise Allah. And anyone who finds the other than that, i.e. that which is not good, then let him not blame anyone except himself. Ya ibadallah, O servants of Allah. We can see how immense this hadith is, and its beauty and majesty was such that we find that when it was narrated, we find that one of the tabi'een, one of the people from the generation who come after the Sahaba, literally fell down to the ground on his knees when he heard this hadith. Because in it is so much. Let's just start at the beginning. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this directive of not oppressing anyone, that he informs us that he has made haram upon himself to make dhulm. And dhulm means oppression, but it also has connotations of darkness. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that اتَّقُوا الظُّلْمَ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That beware of injustice, for oppression will be akin to darkness on the day of resurrection, or the day of judgment. And what does this mean? This means that the one who is the ظالم will find that they will be covered in darkness, or to the degree of oppression that they lived by in this life, to the degree they will be bereft of light on that day when everyone is in need of light, because light around you and light in front of you and light on the right of you is a sign of the degree of iman you had. And so on that day they will be naqis, they will be depleted to the degree of oppression that they carried out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the dhulm in the Quran. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah does not do any dhulm or injustice, even as much as a dharratin. And dharra is basically an atom's weight, which is the least possible. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is, it is impossible, it's not from Allah to oppress anyone. And then Allah reminds specifically, he says in the Quran, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. He says, and in your Lord is never unjust, not ever unjust, to his abid, to his servants, which is everyone. And so this state of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from his perfection. Now, we are meant to takhallaqu bi akhlaqillah. We are meant to imbibe in ourselves the beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as he has made haram upon himself dhulm, then it is haram upon us to oppress one another. And the degree to which we can become people of guidance and people of righteousness is the degree to which our irada and our will is tied up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, he says, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. That he whom Allah guides is the one who is rightly guided. Because the sign to which we are away from that which is dhun, and the sign to which we are in conformity with that which is guidance, is the sign to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding us, right? Because each person, is while he's obliged to strive to ensure that they take the path of guidance, ultimate guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدُوا زادهم هدى وآتاهم تقواهم. And those who are guided, Allah says He increases them in their guidance and gives them the taqwa, which is from the fruits of guidance. Which is why each of us, if we are people who are adults, then we should be, and you know, we don't have any legitimate shari'i excuse, then we should be praying 5 times a day. And in that praying 5 times a day, there is the unit, the raka'ah of the salah, wherein each and every one of us is reciting at least 17 times a day. We say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on the straight path, right? The path that is the way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those He has, His an'amta alayhim, He's pleased with them, He's blessed them, and not the way of those who go astray. And so when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, then if we do it with our hearts and our hopes, then this is only the sabil, the right path, the path of guidance, is the way to the people of success, the people of Jannah, the people of this great meeting point whereby they are in this place of Na'im, Jannatul Na'im, or Jannatul Zakharif, the beautiful aspects of Jannah. And that's why we find that the sifa of the people of Jannah, the attributes of the people of Paradise, is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having guided them. As the Quran says, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. And he says, praise be to Allah. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us as if they are saying, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah who has guided us to this, and we would not have been guided if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not guided us. And so the nature of the people of guidance is that they attribute and ask Allah for guidance, and they ask Allah to be kept away from dhulm. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. And there is no creature on the earth except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's risk has been destined for them. And this is maddi, this is material provision, but also includes rizq al-ma'nawi, spiritual provision. And provision that includes, is a person from those who are guided, or is a person from those who is not guided. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his affair, biyadihi al-amru kullu, in His control is the entire matter, then the sign of tawfiq is that one has aligned himself entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why this hadith goes on to say, it alludes to various things, that Allah is the one who feeds me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives me drink. And then it goes on to spiritual things. It says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives me. So it takes us from our physical, which is food and drink and clothes and shelter, to the spiritual. And at each stage, we are asking for what? We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For as the Quran mentions Him, it says, وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيُسْقِينَ. And He is the one who feeds me and gives me to drink. And elsewhere, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا طَيِّبًا. I ask you for a wholesome provision. And so this is the way of those who are guided. In that day, they continue to take the means, but they trust and their tawakkul is on the مُسَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ, the one who's bringing about the means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the means is making istighfar and seeking mercy and continually turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never despairing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sins and others than that, then do not despair. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't ever despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive all sins. And one of his names is إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. His name Ghafoor, the most beautiful name, is from what? This name of the constantly forgiving. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called himself that because this is the sifa that he loves to, or his name that he loves to manifest, and he loves to be asked. So we don't, what this hadith is pointing to is a life of attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it ends in the most beautiful way. It says, if your sins were to reach the clouds of the sky and you asked forgiveness, Allah would forgive you. And then it goes on to say, if the first of you and the last of you and the humans of you and the jinns of you were all to stand together in one place to ask, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to give every single person whatsoever they asked, then that would not decrease what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses in his khazain, in his depositories, then except that illa kama yanqusu al-mikhyatu idha udkhila al-bahar, except to the degree that someone was to put a needle and dip it in the ocean. And this is an example, a metaphor, which is used to indicate that his rahmah and his maghfirah is fathomless. It's like an ocean without a shore. And your supplication is negligent to the point of even less than a needle that takes, you dip it in, nothing is taken from it. The needle goes in the ocean, some water may rise, but if it does rise, it drips back in the ocean. And so this analogy is the analogy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. It's not a relationship that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, there's some kind of bartering or causality in the sense that, you know, I've done this and Allah owes me this. And no, it's pure rahmah. It's Allah's pure rahmah. And rahmah is also very beautiful, because rahmah is that love of non-separation, in the sense that we are from the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the ibad, and every abd has a rabb. And the nature of the rabb, Allah's rububiyah, is that he is raising us, and he is constantly in our care and constantly giving us that which we need for our ultimate growth of what? Growth of spirit, right? Many a time people can confuse that. The physical is only being amended and facilitated so that our spirit can grow and we can become who we really are, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for, this great vicegerency, this great stewardship, this great destiny that we have, to become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khulafa fil ard, to be his stewards on the earth. But this is done through this connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is done through this connection to his rububiyah. And that's why Allah is reminding us that he has the khazain of samawati wal ard. To him belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. And then the hadith ends by saying, Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum. O servants, it is indeed your deeds that I account for you. And so whomsoever, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And whomsoever does an atom's weight of good will see it, and whomsoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. Right? مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does something good will see it. And whomsoever does something bad will see it. And so the idea is that now that we know our attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِعْمَلْ, act. Because Allah sees your amal, Allah sees that which you do. So build your heart, attach it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only thing that you will gain in this worldly life that is of any bounty and any real significance is that which was done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is where we are given our hisab. That is what we will face on that day when there is no shade from except his shade. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to take from this great hadith and other hadith like this and the Quran to re-establish our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May he assist us all in the way of piety and obedience, piety towards his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may he be And may He allow us to be dutiful to those He has commanded us to be dutiful towards. And I say this, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for me and for you. So invoke Him for forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And with that comes to an end this week's khutbah. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.